Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Don, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to sneak in a couple of calls before we go to my next guest. And yes, I will get to the shutdown and the Trump tariff terror's impact on Wisconsin farmers. We're going to talk a little bit about the city and county's budget, and then I will circle back. But I want to give some love to our loyal listeners and callers, including my friend CJ. I hope you have a good weekend, sir. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jeannie from Eau Claire, go ahead, ma'am.
You have the patience of a saint. I want to support that.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, in my mind, I keep seeing, as I watch live of what's going on in some of those states and those areas where there's protesters, I've seen people getting attacked and handcuffed, shoved to the ground. Well, anyhow, I keep thinking about the mob on January 6th because I was watching live and I had three different TVs, different stations. I'm watching this of the people attacking, hanging Mike Pence, beating up police officers, lots of people because we're going to the Capitol. You know, and it's like I keep seeing that in my head and I think, why in the Sam, you know what? Didn't he call in any help? So that's all I got to say, and you have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie. Yeah, it is extremely frustrating, the double standards. Richard from Waukesha, happy Friday afternoon, sir. What you got for us?
Same to you. I have this out-of-the-box thought. You just think about it. Now, this thing that happened with the president in Israel?
Yes.
Was there money behind the scenes somehow?
Oh, well, funny that you asked that question, Jacob. I know it's further down in our sound cues for today, but I do believe we have a wee bit of a sound cue about the terrible conflicts of interest that basically taint the entire Trump family when it comes to their dealings in the Mideast. I believe that this is cut 40 to your point exactly, Richard. Might as well use the sound now since it's got queued up so wonderfully by one of our intelligent listeners. Take a listen to this. This is Andrew Cuomo asking Eric Trump, why is it okay for you to have this stable coin and be doing deals in the Mideast at the same time there's all these foreign policy things going on? And listen to Eric Trump not answer the question at all.
My question for you is, you know what the climate is.
Yeah.
Why would you put yourself in a situation where you get involved with crypto and have the UAE as one of your big customers, and then they get AI clearance for chips from the U.S. government? You know how that's going to look. You know what's going to happen.
That can't be a serious question. I mean,
but
Chris,
Eric, why put your family in the position? That's all I'm asking. It's a legitimate question.
Chris, I got involved with crypto because I was deplatformed from every bank in the country. Capital One called me in the middle of the night and said, congratulations, we're shutting down 500 of your bank accounts.
All that ensues out of Eric Trump's mouth is a litany of garbage. That I was deplatformed from banks? What are you even talking about? Banks are profit-making entities. They'll finance you and take your money. Ask Deutsche Bank, who financed the entire Trump family corporation for years and decades and decades. By the way, that was, of course, Chris Cuomo, not the former disgraced sex pest Andrew Cuomo, who's now running for mayor off ticket. But not, anyways, yeah, that was Chris Cuomo. Folks, let me bring on my next guest. I want to get in to the sexy topic of municipal budgeting. And Jeremy Janine joins me very frequently on this program, president and co-founder of UrbanMilwaukee.com. We're going to talk a little bit about the city and the county's budgets. Why does this matter to everyone? If you are in Ashland, Rhinelander, La Crosse, in the Door Peninsula, it matters because municipalities across this state are finding it harder and harder to balance their budgets and make them work year over year. And that's because despite the improvements made to local government funding in Act 12 a couple years ago, our shared revenue formulas in the state of Wisconsin for what the state deigns to share with local governments that deliver all the things that are non-political to us, you know, garbage pickup and snow removal and public schools and parks. Yeah, cities, townships, villages, they're all still struggling. Welcome back to the program, Jeremy. Thanks for your patience as we dealt with some of the day's news.
Thanks for having me. I can't promise fireworks like you just had.
Gotta keep it spicy. Tell us a little bit about where the city and the county's budgets stand in terms of their process and what comes next, and then we'll go through a couple of the highlights of each budget.
Sure. So looking at the city and county, they both essentially align. They both have traditional calendar year budgets, and they're both at the point where the executive branch, the county executive or the mayor, have proposed a budget, and then the review is underway by the legislative branch, the county board, or the common council. I suspect cities across Wisconsin right now are going through a similar thing, although as we'll talk about, the scale of it for those two governments is just on another level.
Yeah, it is. It is on another level. Let's do some of the highlights of what we're seeing in the city of Milwaukee's budget proposal.
Sure. And I guess I'll open with kind of a something that's consistent across both of them and is a bit of a canary in the coal mine for the rest of the state, a perfect Milwaukee's microcosm. And that's in 2023, and it really started in 2024, Act 12, new sales tax for both the city and the county and increased shared revenue. But for both entities, they're now having to make cuts because they have a structural budget deficit again. And the driver of that is inherent in how the state allows municipal finances to work. You're only allowed to increase your property tax levy, your primary financing source, by a small amount each year, equivalent to the value of new construction, and then a little inflation increase. But as we've seen on virtually any time we go to the grocery store, inflation has been running at more than a small amount. So every single year we have this gap that grows, and that issue just continues to compound even with this new revenue source. It avoided this is the policy forum's analysis, Wisconsin Policy Forum. Yep. It avoided a dire cliff, but there are still serious problems that will recur year after year after year. And the scale of Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee just makes those that much bigger problems.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, the term of art that gets thrown around that is so important to decode for people is the concept of unfunded mandates. So the state requiring a municipal or local government to do X, Y, and Z, provide X, Y, and Z service, but not allocating or appropriating the funding that can make that happen. And certainly when you look at the city and the county, there's a lot of that that's going on. And even within Act 12 itself, one of the sort of conditions that was placed on the city of Milwaukee is both fire and police hiring and maintenance of force levels, those kinds of things, which I would argue, yeah, we want to be able to have more police officers on the street, but to require that in the midst of, again, these structural deficits keeps putting these incredible pressures on the city's budget. And we're seeing versions of this, again, everywhere in the state. Jeremy, give us a couple of the highlights that are specific to the city of Milwaukee's budget, some of the cost-saving measures that are a little bit more controversial.
Sure. So there's a revenue source that's controversial, and that is the mayor's trying to increase the wheel tax. And the real controversy is the timing of that. He wants the council to approve that before they approve the rest of the budget. That would allow it to go into effect earlier. That would generate another couple hundred thousand dollars. On the exciting side, there's planning for a new library that's underway. I think there might be a little bit of friction there under where that new library goes. And I should clarify, not a new library, but replacing an old library.
Yes.
So it's an efficiency thought. The exciting thing about that project, and this will apply to people outside of Milwaukee that will probably come to this facility, is because it's supposed to be co-located with the Central Count facility for the Milwaukee Election Commission. So that where all the absentee ballots are counted, that'll now be in a city-owned facility. The city recently has otherwise had to spend tens of thousands of dollars every year renting a building to do that because the scale of it's just gotten so big. And then they're move a facility out of the Menominee Valley. That'll free up highly valuable land. It'll also get a building with deferred maintenance off the city's hands and possibly provide a development opportunity in the central city somewhere.
It's an interesting budget. There have been efforts at the county level before Act 12 to find these other resource or revenue sources. And, you know, when you look at a wheel tax, just like a sales tax, what you see is that it is regressive in nature, meaning it's not based on income. It doesn't affect people in terms of the richer you are, the more you pay. it is an across-the-board wheel tax, which means on a relative basis, it takes up a bigger chunk of a working person's household income, and that can sometimes affect some hardships on folks. Tell us a little bit of the top lines, Jeremy, when we're looking at Milwaukee County's budget.
Milwaukee County seems to actually be, they have a smaller budget gap, but it's proving more difficult for them to solve. The city of Milwaukee has a $100 million structural deficit. Milwaukee County has a $47 million deficit. And the city seems poised to solve their budget gap without any real service cuts that are noticeable to anyone. The county, on the other hand, is proposing to eliminate 6 bus routes, reduce service elsewhere. Graham Kilmer published an article in Urban Milwaukee today about reductions at the Behavioral Health Services Division, that there are just a lot of challenges coming for the county that don't seem as easy to solve as the city's.
And when you think about that, it's interesting that you mentioned the behavioral health services. That is one of those mandated, unfunded mandates from the state. Every county in the state is required to provide behavioral health services, either on their own in a stand-up independent mental health hospital or in public-private partnerships, which is what we now have in Milwaukee County. So you're talking about one of these unfunded mandates, mandated services. And it's interesting, we've only seen an explosion in mental health needs over the last few years, not a decrease in those needs. That's true across the state. It's more acute in Milwaukee County simply because of population size. You're also seeing cuts happening to transit, which is not an unfunded mandated service. But most would argue, including the M7, including the Greater Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, that having mass transit, having bus lines, and getting people to where jobs are is absolutely essential in order to keep businesses here and to keep Milwaukee going as an economic engine. So it's a perfect microcosm, not just for the entire state, where municipalities across the state are looking at these things that make life better but are not statutorily required on the one hand, and these state mandates for which they don't get the precise funding that would be necessary to fulfill those mandates in the form of shared revenue. It's a perfect symbol, Jeremy, in my mind, of this thing that all of us know that we need, transit, this thing that we know we need and we're required to provide, behavioral health services, and the fact that these are the two stones from which the county is trying to get blood, pardon the metaphor here, to make their budget work. Jeremy, writ large, we got about a minute left. What would you suggest folks from across the state take away from looking at the city and the county's budget?
Know that the Act 12 didn't solve budget problems, and that impacted everywhere from Janesville to Superior. It injected money into those communities, but it's going to have a real problem in the future. It might not be next year, might not be the year after, but it's coming.
Folks, that is Jeremy Janine, president and co-founder of UrbanMilwaukee.com. My greetings to Graham Kilmer. Jeremy, tell Maggie says hello. Check out their fine work at UrbanMilwaukee.com. We'll continue our budget watch and give you updates from time to time as that process proceeds. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the Trump tariff terror's impact specifically on Wisconsin farmers. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.